Check, check.
Am I good? Awesome. Whew. That song is a little moving there. Well, I certainly love you guys, and I am so blessed to be here and to be able to share God's word with you guys and just share what God's been showing me, and I just hope you guys get really blessed. So, for the last few weeks, I've been kind of taking a look at how we work for God, and God has this company going on, okay? And I've looked at different ways, like the application process. Well, that was really easy. All we had to do was believe in Jesus Christ, that he was risen from the dead. Well, that was easy. Bam, we got the job. Okay, so then you get the job, and then you go through the benefits package and your job description and all this stuff. So I looked at all of that, our job description. We are ambassadors for Christ. We have the ministry of reconciliation, and we get to hold forth God's word in love to people and shed light to people that are in darkness. That's a pretty awesome job to have. Now with that, we have lots of benefits. Just like a job would have benefits, we also have a benefit package. We have health insurance. Wow. By Jesus Christ's stripes, we were healed. We don't even need health insurance. We have healing already. We just have to claim it. It's already ours. We have life insurance. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Because of all that he accomplished, we get to pay out on his life insurance policy. Okay? So we have all of these different packages. Retirement package. I mean, shoot, that's awesome. We're going to get new bodies. You know, we're going to have no tears, no sorrow, no nothing. We have all of this stuff because of Jesus Christ and all that was accomplished and because of the love of God. Now, you might say, how come we don't always live with these benefits? Why aren't they being manifested all the time? Well, I want to go to God's word and take a look at what God instructs us to do so that we can reap of these benefits and realize the realities that have already been accomplished for us. Okay? Let's turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The I here is referring to Jesus Christ. So he came that we might have life and not just that we're saved, no, but that we might have life more abundantly. Now that's a huge thing. And, you know, you get born again, you're saved. Nothing can take that away from you. In a moment, you have all of the things that Jesus Christ did for us. We are reconciled back to God. We are justified. We are righteous. We have all spiritual blessings. We have all of these things, but we need to live them. We need to rise up to that level, to that spiritual reality. And God's word shows us how. So let's go to Colossians. Chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're just going to read through a lot of the chapter, so just follow along. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to go back a little bit and review some things that we just read. Just pinpoint, highlight some things. It says in verse 2, set your affections on things above. In verse 1, it says, seek those things which are above. In verse 5, mortify therefore your members, which means to make dead. You're noticing there's a little bit of a pattern here. Put off all of these things in verse 8. Verse 10, put on the new man. Verse 12, put on, therefore, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness. These are all action words. Seeking, putting on, putting off. It takes action on our part to do these things. So we have to choose to put them on. We have to choose to accept the realities that Jesus Christ has already put forth for us. So it takes action, and God shows us very clearly in his word how we can do that, how we can rise to that level. Lie not one to another. Put on mercies, kindness. Work heartily unto the Lord. Whatever we're doing, whether you're a school teacher, whether you're a mom, whether you're a chemist, whatever you do, we can work unto the Lord. And it is in that work that we do that we get blessed. That's when we start seeing the benefits. When we start living, when we start taking the action to walk out on what God and his Son have already put forth for us to walk on. So it's really, really simple. The other thing that I thought was cool in this is in verse 15 and verse 16. It says, and let, we have to let the peace of God rule in our hearts. We already have the peace of God, but you have to let it rule in your heart. If you don't let it rule, it's not going to be there for you when you need it. You have to, I mean, it's there, but in order for it to be a conscious reality, you have to let it rule in your heart. You have to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How do we do that? We read his word. We continually think on it and consider what his word says. And the more we consider it, the more we let it into our hearts, the more we believe it, and the more we act out upon it. It's just like this cool cycle. Like you just keep going. You put more in, you believe more, you act more. And with that action, that is when we receive the benefits of being in God's company. So, one way that we can rise up to this level is Romans 12, verse 1. And 2. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here we're lovingly implored, we're beseeched to present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, to work for God, and to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Just because we're born again doesn't mean we're going to live like that. But because we are born again, God has given us the power and the potential to renew our minds, to live as he has called us to live. And it's that power and potential that we have to desire and choose individually in your heart at every moment of the day to do, to rise to forget about the world, forget about what anyone says. This is what we do. This is what we care about. This is what we say. This is what we do. So we have that potential. We have that ability to renew our minds because we are born again, because we have Christ dwelling within us, because we have that Spirit. Let's look a little more into that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read verses 4 through 11. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now if you get into what God is really saying here in a better translation of that verse 11, it's dividing to every man of his own as he wills. So as I will, that's when I'm going to operate the nine manifestations of the Spirit. God gave us the gift of Holy Spirit. He works in us, but we have to will, we have to desire to operate all nine of those manifestations. And every single one of us can operate all nine. They're all, I mean, it's the same Spirit working in all of us. In verse 6, and there are diversities of the Spirit, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. God is working in all of us, all of these manifestations, but we have to desire it. We have to choose to manifest all nine of these. And this, I mean, this is an awesome tool that we have to do our job for God. God gave us Holy Spirit as the tool, as just a benefit. My gosh, healings, miracles, discerning of spirits. You can be like, whew, that's not good, you know? Like, you can... How awesome is this? How awesome are these benefits? But we have to desire to do them and to manifest them and to claim them as our own because they're rightfully ours because of Jesus Christ, because we believed. We don't deserve it. We believed, therefore we have it, and we have to do it. So another interesting thing is that in verse 6, the word worketh is the Greek word energeo, which means to energize, to be operative, to be effective. So God is working in us, working effectually in us, and energizing us. And another place that that word is used is in Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure." So it is God which is energizing you, which is causing you to be operative and effective and active. both to will, to desire, and to do. The word to do is the same word as worketh. God is working in us to work effectually for his good pleasure. It's just full circle. It's full circle. God works in us, we desire it, and then we work for him. It's just a give-give, win-win situation, which is totally awesome. And it also just relieves a lot of pressure off of you because it's not of yourself anymore. It's God who works in you as you desire for him to. It's God's spirit which can be manifested as we desire it to do. So it's not of us. It doesn't matter who we are or what we're good at, what we're bad at, what our shortcomings are, what our strengths are. I mean, God cares about that stuff, but really, in the end, it's God who works in us. It is his power, it is his strength, it is his might that is going to be effective and operative. And when we put that on and we realize it, that's when we receive the benefits of working for him and him working in us. Now let's go back a little bit to get a little more context of this verse. It's always good to see the context so we can understand things better. And I'd like to start in chapter 1, verse 27. Says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Let's just read that again. And in nothing, nothing. Does everyone know what nothing means?
Nothing.
It means no thing, okay? In nothing terrified by your adversaries. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have no reason to be scared, guys. We have no reason not to work and to live and to step up to this reality. So in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me and now here to be in me. The more we stand, the more the adversary is not going to like us. Okay? That's just the way it is. He doesn't want people standing for God. He doesn't want people manifesting power and manifesting God's spirit and being more than conquerors, because he already knows what his doom is. And that's just like rubbing it in his face when we stand for him. So he's going to be on you like glue when you start standing for God. But you don't need to be, we just read, we don't need to be scared when that comes to pass because God is working in us. So it's not of you. You don't need to be scared when the adversary starts trying to creep in because God is working in you and God is a lot mightier than the adversary. So that's pretty awesome. Okay, just take a little bit more off your shoulders here. Let's keep going. Chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So here Paul just showed us that we have this awesome example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How did he walk? He walked perfectly. He obeyed God. He always did the will of the Father. We can have that same mind. We can walk as Christ walked if we choose to. And the biggest thing was he humbled himself and he became obedient. In order to walk like he did and to reap of the benefits that he has already accomplished, we also have to be obedient. We can't just be going around doing our own thing. We have to be obedient to what God is telling us. And he tells us stuff through his word and also by revelation. And when you become obedient to his word, whichever form it takes to get to you, God works with all of us in different ways. When you become obedient to that, and when you act out on what he has told you to do, that's when you start seeing the reality of what we are and who we are in Christ. And that's when we start seeing the benefits and the blessings and just the abundance and prosperity pour out in our lives. But we have to be obedient. That's huge. That's how Jesus Christ walked. He's our example. So we also need to be obedient. And when I was studying this stuff, verse 12 kind of was a little bit like, work out your own salvation. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? That's a bunch of crap. We already are saved. But when I started to get into it, it's more like we are already saved, but if we don't live the life of being saved, then we're never going to reap of the benefits, is basically how I understood it when I started looking into it. And so how do we work out our own salvation? Well, it kind of said that in previous verses. Let's see, in verse 27 of chapter 1, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation. So when we are striving together, when we are walking in love, that's how we're working out our salvation. We're just living it. That's how we work it out. It's because we're standing upon the reality and we're working. We're doing something about this life, this saved life that we already have. It's like just raising your thinking, raising your standards to the standard of God's word. So hopefully that makes sense to you guys. It makes sense to me now because we don't really work out our own salvation. Jesus Christ worked out our salvation, if you want to look at it technically like that. But we continue day by day need to work out our own salvation and the fact that we just live the realities that Christ set before us. Well, let's just go a little bit further because it's so cool. Verse 14 of chapter 2. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Oh my gosh. I think that's a little bit of reproof for each and every one of us here. Whether we're murmuring with each other or murmuring and disputing in our head, because that's sometimes the biggest battle. Look what it says here. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Okay, guys, there you go. You've heard it. Do it. Verse 15. Why do we do it without murmurings and disputings? That we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. God already sees us as blameless and harmless. We are already his sons. We just have to see ourselves as blameless and harmless, the sons of God. And we have to see each other that way too. We need to look at each other with love and see the Christ in one another, not see the faults, not dispute about stupid stuff. Just walk in love. Just rise to that level. Don't dispute, don't murmur, just love. God sees us as perfect and blameless and harmless. Why can't we see each other as that too? We can. We just have to choose to do it and renew our minds to do that. So, pretty cool that we get to hold forth the word of life. And that we shine as lights. Even when we're not quite in fellowship, we still shine. We are light. I mean, sorry, you can't run for it. You know, no matter where you are, no matter what state of mind you're in, you're going to shine. That's just an awesome benefit. Even when we're not walking or working for God, we still shine. So that can just lift you up no matter where you are. Like, holy crap, I'm shining. Yeah. Let your love shine. Anyway. Just really cool. So, let's turn to Let's go to the beginning of Colossians, to close. Colossians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So how do we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing? Well, we walk in the Spirit. That's how we do it, and that's how we're going to be fruitful. When you walk in the Spirit, you bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, meekness, long-suffering, patience. Everything that Galatians says about when you walk in the Spirit, you're going to produce fruit. So that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. We're called to do good works. We are. We don't have to, but we are called, we are asked by God to do good works, and we will be rewarded for that. It says, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So that kind of sums it up. Like, we're already delivered from the power of darkness. We're already redeemed through Jesus Christ, but we have to walk that way. We have to talk that way. We have to believe that way. When we believe, I mean, believing is basically the right way of believing, is acting upon God's promises. The more you increase your knowledge of what God has promised in his word, the more that you have to believe. And believing means taking action. So the more we have, the more we can act. And the more we act, guess what? God is going to bless us more and more as we work for him and as we boldly, with confidence, go out into this world knowing who we are, what we have, and our purpose. And it's really simple, guys. And I mean, kind of back to this business deal, we started out believing. That's how we got into the business. And in order to prosper and to be abundant in this business of God, we have to continue to believe as we did when we first entered the business. So I just love you guys, and I encourage you to believe bigger, to rise up, to understand the reality of who we are, what we have, and then just to live it. I mean, it's really simple. We just got to do it. We have to individually decide and do it, and then we're going to be blessed now, and guess what? Later, too. So it's like double benefits. It's awesome. But I love you guys, and thanks for letting me share God's word.